This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
So if I want to go stargazing properly, I have to, you know, pack up the telescope, go take my car, go somewhere else, drive out towards like outskirts of KL or even to other states just to use it, you know.
According to scientists, maybe it's time to turn off those lights instead because, you know, Caroline has already made you scared about the lives of baby seals.
Okay, so contrary to popular belief, evidently many of us do know how to change light bulbs and we're doing it a bit too often because light pollution is a problem.
Correct. The world's nights are getting alarmingly brighter and apparently this is bad news for all sorts of creatures, not just animals and baby seals, but us as well, human beings as well.
Yeah, that's right. Now, you know what? If you're still asking what is light pollution, I have to tell you, you're not alone. Because it was nowhere on my radar. I have to admit that, nowhere on my radar. So I think the loose definition would be if the it's the introduction or the addition of artificial light.
Correct.
Yeah.
So back in 2013, there was a book that came out called The End of Night by Paul Bogard. It was a very interesting book, Caroline. I remember reading it back then. And essentially, the search for natural darkness is almost impossible these days.
The search for natural darkness.
And that's what he did. He set out to search for natural darkness. At which point in the world can you find, and I'm not just talking about the color of my skin, and where in the world can you find a place which is naturally dark, which is devoid of any kind of light pollution, and it is virtually impossible.
Yeah, and I can think of a few people who give me that. But, you know, there is a biological impact to
yes.
it, right? So, and it's from all the surging artificial light, and people's sleep can be marred, which in turn can affect their health. It affects the migration and reproduction of birds, fish, amphibians, insects, even bats, plants even can have abnormally extended growing periods. So, I mean, it really is quite alarming.
No, it is. It is quite alarming. And, you know, you don't have to, I guess, look to scientists to test this theory out. I mean, you try sleeping with the lights on every night, and it's a weird thing. Your sleep is interrupted. I find that on those days when I have to wake up really early, I'm afraid I might miss my alarm clock. I leave all my lights on and go to sleep.
Right.
Because I find that it's not complete REM sleep or rested sleep.
Yeah, I don't know whether that's necessarily good for you, but you know, I have very little appreciation, or rather a shallow understanding of its significance. And when I was reading this, it came as a bit of a surprise to me. So according to the study, they're seeing sort of a decline in nightlight areas, in areas of conflict, so places like Syria, Yemen, for example, where it's holding stable. You've got the US, the Netherlands, Spain, but they're seeing a surge in artificial nightlighting in Asia, Africa, and South America.
And that also is a consequence of our modernity and our, well, our upper-class lifestyle, right? I mean, you know, as a country, as we get richer, we feel that it's not just a privilege, but a right to have light, right? It's
yes,
a light to have light.
It's an absolute light.
It's an absolute right. We're going to cross over now to astrophysicist Dr. Mazlan Othman. She's also the director of the International Council of Science Regional Office for Asia and the Pacific. Dr. Mazlan, thank you so much for taking our call. There's absolutely no one more qualified to comment on the story than a space scientist.
Yeah, this is how we roll.
So can you please explain to us what light pollution means to you?
Light pollution is a phenomenon where most people don't think of it as pollution, but for the astronomers, it's a source of pollution because it prevents the astronomers from looking up into the sky and looking at objects that are extremely faint, that with the background light in the sky being so high, you miss seeing them. If you look at the sky with the naked eye in the city, and you look at the sky with your naked eye in, say, the kampong, or maybe even 20 kilometers outside the city, you will notice how many more stars you can see, provided, of course, the sky conditions are the same.
Yeah, of course. So I assume that light pollution in KL is getting worse, but do you have a more accurate gauge of just how bad it actually is?
Within the Kuala Lumpur region, I mean, I've tried to look at celestial objects in Kuala Lumpur, and I compare it with what I can see in Langkawi, for instance. Let's say there are no clouds in the sky. I would say maybe half the stars are not so obvious to the eyes.
No, you're right. I think we hardly see the stars anymore if we're in the city. But is this really such a big deal, not being able to see the stars?
Because if you look in history, how knowledge has been driven, astronomy is one of the oldest science in the human civilization. Why? Why is it one of the oldest science, oldest source of knowledge? It's because when human beings, you know, a few thousand years ago, looked up to the sky, they could see this fantastic, tremendous fabric of light out there, and it inspired them, philosophy, you know, and the thought of, are we alone in this universe? It all comes from being able to look out at a black sky and seeing this huge amounts of dots of light. So you imagine that if the human race started in an environment where you do not see the stars, let's say, in a worst-case scenario, you do not see the stars at all. The way you formulate knowledge, the way you formulate philosophy will all be different because you don't see the sky, which is a source of wonder. And so I think in the future, where if the sky is so bright or the air is so polluted, we will cease to have this sense of wonder of where we are in the universe.
Oh, I guess, you know, for a race of people who are just constantly looking for this sense of belonging,
yeah,
a sense of where we are really does help. So as ordinary individuals, what can we do about light pollution? Is there anything that can be done?
Light pollution, at the individual level, you can decide, for instance, that if you have lights in your garden, those lights do not shine upwards into the sky. You should have lights that actually light the footpath rather than light, you know, light the night sky. So that's your garden. Now, when it comes to local authorities or government, when they put lights in the highway, that's what they should be doing. They should be having the lights that are designed to shine downwards rather than upwards. So those globes, you know, coming up from globes which shine out everywhere is the worst kind. But those that shine downwards are preferred. But then it's not just shining downwards. Astronomers use key wavelengths or use key colors in the light to study the universe. And there, if you can avoid having lights that emit those wavelengths, then as far as astronomers are concerned, the sky will still be dark because the lights are emitting in a different wavelength from what they are interested in. But that, I think, will have to come from local authorities and government and private companies too that make light. They should have lights with the technical specifications that do not contribute to light pollution.
Doc, thank you so much for your insights. That was Dato' Dr. Mazlan Osman, astrophysicist and director of the International Council of Science Regional Office for Asia and the Pacific. Let me tell you this, Caroline. You only realize the joy of darkness, and I'm not just talking about myself again, when you experience it in its natural way. Like when you have blackout curtains are the easiest way to probably experience it in the city, but if you actually go to like a island resort somewhere
on
holiday,
or if you're scuba diving like at night,
exactly,
where it's really completely dark
under the water, yeah, right? And then I think you realize how important that kind of peace and solitude is to the human mind as well. Mm. Yeah, here we go. Here's hoping for more darkness. We've got Aretha Franklin coming your way with Good Times on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.